Welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast, where today we're going to be talking about strategies that triathletes can do in training to ensure they are not only adequately fueled for their session, but to prepare themselves for race day. With tri-season kicking off around the country, it's important to focus on your nutritional training as much as you do the physical. In this episode, we cover things you can do during training to mimic competitions, how to fuel your training load, and event-specific nutrition practices that you can nail on race day. This will be a good one, so listen up. Alrighty, hello everyone. We're back for another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. I am Lauren Nash and I've got Geordie Sullivan here with me today. Good morning, Geordie.
Good afternoon. Loz, good morning if you are on the other side of the country. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm pretty good, thank you. Just off air, we were talking about your upcoming event, which is exciting and kind of in line with what we're talking about today, but not quite. Do you want to give a quick debrief of that? Because it could allude to something we're going to talk about in the future.
Yeah, I've got a 100K in the bush coming up next weekend. So I'm knee deep in my taper and everything for that. But what we're going to be talking about today is more tailored around Loz's sport of triathlon, and because Loz does work with a lot of triathletes over in WA and does it herself. But a lot of these principles apply for any endurance sport. Like, they definitely apply for, you know, when I'm training for these ultras, and I've put all of these things that we're going to talk about into practice, and they're so useful. And something I've learned from being in this space and talking to other people and just seeing how other people are at racing and competitions, nutrition is one of the biggest things that everyone really struggles with. And it's nutrition and hydration, I would argue, are probably the most important things for these longer endurance races, where you can be mentally, you know, pretty tough and you can be physically very fit, but if you don't have your nutrition and hydration in place, you can't really tap into those two things as best as you can. So we're going to talk about five strategies that you can start implementing right now in your training that are definitely going to help you out when it comes to your next race or competition.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I suppose, you know, this is kind of more so focused on triathletes, but it goes for ultra runners. You know, if you're just doing a huge open water swim, anything where nutrition is going to be make or break come game day. And for anyone new that's listening and maybe hasn't listened to our podcast before, or you've just stumbled across it because you saw the word triathlete or nutrition or endurance or something in the title, if you want, I'd encourage you to go back a few episodes. Geordie and myself had quite a few on endurance nutrition principles. We talked about carb loading, intertraining nutrition, all those really helpful things. So, you know, if you've just come across this one, I'd say go back, have a listen to those, and also, you know, follow us on socials. We've got a lot of info out there as well, because it is super important to get your head around, but it can also be really confusing. So as well, I think we need to start our podcast off with disclaimer that don't do anything new on race day. So if you've got an event coming up this weekend and you hear something great from this and you think, oh yeah, I'm going to do that, maybe wait until after, because you never want to try anything new on race day. And that doesn't just go for triathlon, but footy, weightlifting, MMA, anything like that. So yes, ultimately over here, you know, triathlon season's kicking off. So it's time to really focus on your nutrition as well as your training. And as Geordie mentioned, we're going to talk about some strategies that you can do in training to prepare yourself for the comp. So one of the first ones I think we should get started off with is just making sure that you're eating enough to support your training load in general. I know that's a very vague statement, because if you don't have a nutritionist or a dietitian working with you, or if you're not one yourself, you think, okay, well, how do I know that I'm eating enough? So yes, can be quite vague, but you know, with any type of endurance sport, chances are your training load's quite high. You know, just hitting a 30-minute S&C class or a 45, you know, class. So your training demand's quite high, and you've got to eat to fuel that. And the big thing is we want to try and maintain energy availability, which we've spoken about in the past. And I know, not that I can't just come on here and say, oh, you need to eat X amount of calories and X amount of grams of carbs per day, because it's a very individual thing. And if that's something you're interested in, you know, send us a message, we can help you, or, you know, try and find someone who can do all this for you. But you ultimately want to be in a state of energy availability, because if you're not eating enough to fuel your training, your body then will start to kind of sacrifice in terms of you don't have enough energy to also then have a healthy menstrual cycle, or to increase your muscle mass and all these types of things. Sleep is disrupted and all those things. So I think making sure that you're eating enough is a good one just to start this off with, in terms of, okay, yeah, good reminder, am I actually eating enough? Am I hungry after training? Because I haven't been eating enough. And as well, fueling multiple training sessions in one day.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. This is by far the biggest thing that I have learned going into endurance sport. And I'll outright say it, I'm by far not the best runner by any means, but I can compete with some pretty good guys. And that is purely due to the fact that I know how to fuel myself properly. Well, I know how to fuel myself a lot better than what they do. And I've been in races where I've hung in there with some of the really good guys and they've been off to the side and they're spewing up or they can't take in their hydration. And it all comes back to your daily habitual diet. And I understand it coming from a combat sport background where I used to have to make weight and cut weight. And I always had this less is more attitude and completely flipped that in the endurance world, because when you're training 3-4 hours a day, you need to have this fuel. And the thing is, a lot of people as well, they get really caught up in the looking like an athlete. And I have found myself, I probably look the best and am in the best shape possible because I eat so much more food now and so much more of the right foods. And I think you feel this instantly. We always talk about nutrition being a long-term thing, but in reality, if you have a big week of training coming up and you fuel properly for that, I personally think it's night and day. When you compare the last week when you didn't get your fueling right to the week that you did get, I think it's night and day in how you feel when you're out there, how you feel when you recover, what your motivation is like when you get up the next morning. You know, some mornings you can just spring out of bed and go, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. And some are just really, really tough. And I really do believe a lot of that has to do with how you fuel yourself and how you hydrate yourself in and around training.
Really good point, I think, is then how you said, you know, motivation. I think food's a huge motivator as well, in terms of, I know it's not a placebo effect, you know, the more you eat and when you eat the right amounts of food, you actually do feel better. But regardless, it is a huge mental thing for me. You know, if I've had a really good meal or I've had lots of carbs, I know I'm going to have a good session because I've got energy in the tank. So for me as well, nutrition stems far beyond the physical, but it's also the mental side as well. Because if you know you've been putting in the fuel in the tank, you know, you're not running on empty. So you can go the distance, but, yeah, it's so important. You can feel it helps you sleep better. When you sleep better, you've got more energy to train, and then you train better and then you recover better. It's just like this one big cycle. But, you know, if you're doing any type of endurance sport, you're probably going to be training more than once a day. So as well, you know, a lot of people say, oh, should I eat less on rest days? And then what about, you know, if you're training 2, 3, 4 times a day, it's really important to make sure that you're fueling those sessions, because we've spoken in the past about, you know, muscle glycogen is our energy tank. And if you say train in the morning and then maybe you just have a protein shake or you eat bits and bobs here throughout the day, and you come into that second session and maybe you haven't had enough carbohydrates, you're starting with a depleted energy tank, so to speak. So you're going to have reduced carbohydrate availability coming into that second session. So priorities, I did a post on it on Instagram last week or so, just making sure that on those days you are prioritizing your simple, fast digesting carbohydrates and lean protein between trainings, because carbs and protein together can help our body be really efficient at maximizing our muscle glycogen stores, which is what we want before our next session. Staying on top of your hydration, of course, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And same with pre-training nutrition, just being mindful of really high fat and fiber foods, because they're the types of things that will sit in your stomach, not digest as quickly. And you don't want to have any unnecessary runs to the toilet or cramping if you're going for a run after just having a huge meal. So just being mindful of your nutrition on multiple training days is a big one. Do you have anything else to add on that one, Geordie?
I think the last thing I'll say before we move on is I can appreciate that a lot of people that get into endurance sports are probably a little bit crazy and there's a couple of screws loose upstairs, but and everyone in the sport is tough. And there's that old saying that your body will give out long before your mind does. Your mind will give out long before your body does. Sorry. So that is very true. That is very true. You can push your body really, really far if you're mentally headstrong and you can keep going. I always talk to our endurance athletes about fueling that mental push. And it's all well and good to be able to push your body and have that push inside you, but your body physically has to have the energy in there for you to be able to do it. So I always talk to them about, okay, if you're that type of athlete, that Lionel Sanders type athlete, that's great that you can really push, but you need to have the fuel to do that mental push. And I always say fueling the mental is just as important as fueling the physical.
So true. And I think, you know, little shout out to our friend Naturally Nina as well. She did a good post yesterday on how underfueling can impact our mental function as well. So I think it's so true. The link between food and our brain and our cognition and mental performance is huge. Second point is using long weekend sessions. Generally you'll have a long run or a long ride as a chance to practice carb loading. So carb loading is something that we'd encourage before an event. And ultimately, that's just adopting a high carbohydrate intake for a couple of days before your event so that we can maximize those muscle glycogen stores. And typically, if you're coming up to an event, you're also tapering your training. So a reduction in training and an increase in dietary carbohydrate is going to lead to a huge increase in our muscle glycogen stores, which is what we want. However, if you're just kind of doing training, you're probably not going to be tapering as well just in a random week. However, it's still a really good chance for you to practice your carb loading, because one, if you're doing it properly, it's a lot of carbs, and depending on what your habitual intake is, it could seem like a lot. It could be make you feel quite uncomfortable. So during training one, it's going to set you up for success on that the next day's training session. And two, get you used to and comfortable and familiar with having that amount of carbs, so that come, I don't know, your Ironman or your sprint trial, whatever you're doing in a couple of weeks' time, you're comfortable with that process. You've done it before. You can feel confident knowing that, okay, I'm going to have this for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, blah, blah, blah. And you've got that down pat in a way. So, you know, old school carb loading protocols, as I mentioned, was a training taper and also say 3 days or so on a really high carb diet after you've depleted. But these days, you know, you could literally just do 8 to 12 grams of carbs per kilogram of your body weight for say 36 to 48 hours before the competition. Or you can even just do a really high carbohydrate intake, say on the Friday, if you're going to be running on the Saturday. So for example, say if you've got a really long run programmed on the Saturday, on the Friday, have around 10 grams of carbs per kilogram of your body weight. So say you weigh 70 kilos, that's roughly 700 grams of carbs, which is quite a lot, but it's just a 1 day carb load that next day you're going to have nice topped up muscle glycogen stores. And you see, you know, feel the difference in your training that next day. But using those long sessions as a chance to practice this can be a really good strategy to do in the weeks and months leading up to your training sessions. I think you do that, don't you, Geordie?
Yeah. Friday is always a carb load day for the Saturday long run. And it's, you're so right. You use that day to practice the day before a competition or a race, because like Law said at the start, you never want to try anything new. And when you're going through the process and you're tapering, you want to know exactly what you need to eat in the days leading up to your race. And you want to know what makes you feel good and what makes you feel good in those days when you are tapering, and what makes you feel good, most importantly, when you're out there. Because I've done it many times when you're playing trial and error with lots of different foods on the Friday, you might hit your numbers and feel okay, but then you get out there on the day and you start running, you go, oh, this isn't really sitting well, or that's really heavy, or, you know, I just feel really sluggish and slow to start. And you've got to kind of go through a vetting process and figure out what foods are best, because really a lot of people know that they have to eat a lot, or they even have to eat 600-800 grams of carbs that day, but then they just shove in whatever they can. You really have to figure out what works best for your body and follow all the rules. And you've got to do that well in advance of when your actual race day is. I do not recommend anyone just listen to this and go, oh, okay, I got a race next weekend on Friday, I'm just going to load up on. If you haven't done that, don't do it. You need to practice this, and you need to know it back to front what works with your body.
Yeah, definitely. And as well with carbs, when glycogen stored, it also stores water. They're kind of buddies. So when you do have a lot of extra carbs on board, you're naturally going to maybe hold a little bit of extra water. And if you haven't done that before, you might wake up next morning and, you know, if you're someone that weighs yourself, or, you know, you're very in tune with your body and you feel a bit heavier, it might be a bit of a shock, or you might think, oh gosh, what's gone wrong here? So as well, you know, if you've practiced it before, you've done it before, you know how your body responds to having extra carbs on board, and that extra water is a natural thing that's going to happen. But if you've never done it before or never experienced it, it might throw you off and think, oh gosh, I'm coming into this run really heavy today, I'm going to feel it. So again, it's just being prepared. On that note, I'll come back to number three, but tip number four was just, yeah, practicing your intra-training nutrition and hydration as well. So yep, you've practiced your pre-event carb loading, and now we're talking about that intra-training nutrition and hydration, which is a huge thing, because you know, only need to practice the amounts of foods that you want to, like the amounts of carbs that you want to try and get per hour, but also your timing. Are you going to have, you know, 30 grams on the hour every hour, or are you going to have 30 grams every 20 minutes, or are you going to have 30 grams every 10 minutes? You know, it's getting that timing right for you. Also trying different products. I get a couple of my people to go to the shops and find like buy a couple of different gels or bars, so that, you know, they don't just go and buy like a 24 pack of Sys gels and then find out that they don't like them and they just wasted $60. But go and grab a few different things, you know, even Clif bars from the supermarket. You don't even have to go to a fancy shop or anything, but grab a few different products and try them during training, so that you realize, okay, yeah, I like this one, or I don't like that one. And as well, again, with you know, go back to our episode from quite a while ago where we talked in depth about intra-training nutrition. But, you know, what's going to be your goal? Are you someone that just wants to aim for 30 grams an hour? Or are you really pushing the limits of that upper carbohydrate intake, which is up around 120 grams an hour? So it's, okay, kind of deciding what works well for you. And then in a way, like writing it down, okay, well, if I have, I don't know, two dates and 500 mils of my carb powder, I know I'm going to hit this target every hour. What does this look like across a ride, run, and a swim, or just a ride, or just a run? So getting familiar with the plan so that you're not just winging it come race day is a big thing there. And also the logistics of eating and drinking whilst you're exercising, because that's a huge one that, you know, athletes and other sports don't have to consider. You know, are you going to have a handheld water bottle? Do you have a pack? Do you have things on your bike? Do you have them in your pocket? Like if you're riding and you're trying to get things out of your pocket, is that awkward for you? Are you good at that? Are you going to fall off a bike? I'm still not that good at it. Sometimes really throws me. So, you know, practicing these things in training is really helpful. And also just to prevent, again, like you mentioned, Jordy, feeling uncomfortable, feeling a bit sick mid-training if you've not practiced it before. So it's ultimately just trying all these things so that you feel comfortable come race day. And with regards to your hydration, we've spoken again in depth about this previously, but trying to get an estimate of how much fluid you're losing during training can help you to estimate, keyword being estimate, how much fluid you should also be having during an event. Do you want to talk to this one?
Yeah, I think this is hugely undervalued and hugely underutilized practice. I think in the endurance world is people know that they have to hydrate, but they just don't really know how to do it. And this is the easiest way. And again, we keep saying it, you got to practice this on your long runs, because it's not like you're going to go out into the mountains, or if you're doing, I don't know, a brick session and you're going from a swim into a ride into a run, you're not bringing your scale out to like every transition and then doing it. What you're doing is you're going out and you need to get feedback and you need to kind of keep a mental note or physically write it down how much you're drinking and weigh yourself before, weigh yourself after, because you have to have an idea. I was saying the laws off air, the hydration one can be quite complex, because there's been sessions where I thought I nailed it and I got in enough, and I go home and I urinate, and then it's just, I'm clearly dehydrated. And then I check the scale and I go, oh man, I haven't hit the numbers well enough. And then you go through and you go, oh, actually, you know what? There was an hour there that I really fell behind. I need to make sure that I'm on top of that. So just, and that goes for your carbohydrates as well. And I think the biggest thing with this is you can plan out all your numbers and say, I'm going to have, I don't know, 1 liter of fluid and I'm going to have 100 grams of carbohydrates. And I'm going to do that every hour for 4 hours. But what does that practically look like when you're out there? What does that look like in the physical amount of food, the fluid that you're going to do? There's a logistical problem there where you actually have to grab it out of your pack, or you have to get it off a table or for a checkpoint or whatever it is. You have to figure that out. And then say, like, if you're running, I always talk to our clients, it's a real skill to be able to run, keep a pace, maintain your breath, and then still get these foods in while you're unpackaging something or getting it in. So there's a whole logistical and practical side of it that you have to figure out as well. So you'll get the numbers and then, okay, what does that look like in food? How do I actually pull that off? And then you've got the additional hurdle. Say if you do what I do with the ultras, is when you get the palate fatigue and you don't want those foods anymore. And then we've got to swap. And then we go, okay, what's our plan when the palate fatigue comes in? And what if the palate fatigue comes in 20 kilometers earlier than what I was anticipating? Do I have a game plan for that? So it's a lot of things that I've found a lot of guys in the endurance world don't really think about. And it's, I'll worry about that when we get there. And it's like, no, worry about it now, so you have a game plan for when you do get there, because you will get there.
I think a few weeks ago, we spoke about that event that you did, the 60K one, and kind of, you know, shit hit the fan on that day and things kind of just really went from bad to worse. And I think you mentioned, you know, you need a plan for when the plan doesn't work. And, you know, you can't plan to feel like that or for something to go wrong. But if it happens in training, at least you can be somewhat prepared in terms of, okay, you know what, I got to this point where I literally could not stomach anything. So, okay, well, maybe if you run past an aid station, grab some flat Coke and do the mouthwash thing. You know what I mean? Like, there are ways that you can get around it, but having that, I suppose, in your mind that, okay, this could happen, or like, how can I possibly counteract it, or what can I do now to try and prevent me from getting to that awkward stage? So that's definitely right. And, you know, you have different types of sessions during the week as well. So one of the other points was, you know, if you've got a brick session as well, practice what you'd be doing in a transition. So if you're getting out of the water, going to go straight onto the bike, you know, just get familiar with, okay, putting the stuff in your suit after you've come out of the water, or if you want to try and, you know, have a gel or have some chews or something in that transition, use those different types of training sessions to practice your nutrition for the day. Because obviously on the race day, you're going to have adrenaline and everything else happening as well, because you're in an event situation. But, you know, just use, again, use this as a chance to, okay, you're going to be floundering between putting your shoes on, taking shoes off, putting a hat on, you know, undressing, taking a wetsuit off, all those types of things. Chuck your nutrition in there as well and practice it, just so that come race day, you're not totally even more flustered than you would be. And as well, again, brick session is probably going to be longer than 90 minutes. So make sure you are, again, using this as a chance to fuel. But the last point is a training and nutrition journal. So again, we've talked about this in the past, but I think this is a really underrated tool in terms of what we've just spoken about. You know, you're using your training to practice your nutrition. It's not going to be any good if you don't really remember how it felt. So keeping note, whether it's, you know, you've got a handwritten journal or you just write a couple of notes in your iPhone about what you ate and drank, maybe the timing, what type of session it was, how you felt during your session, all those types of things can really help you to reflect on the session and also realize, okay, well, what worked well for me or maybe what didn't work, so that moving forward when you go to your next long run, you know, okay, I had a banana beforehand, didn't sit too well, but I was able to stay on top of my hydration because this new powder that I had was great. So it's coming up with, okay, yeah, then you start to see consistencies in terms of this really works, this doesn't work well. So as you get closer to the event, you can really tailor your race plan to reflect what did and didn't work during training. And, you know, it might seem lame, oh my gosh, I need to write a journal, but you know, it doesn't have to be, dear diary, today in my training I felt great. It's just make a couple of notes about what you had, what went well, what didn't go well, because I think you probably learned a lot from your race a few weeks ago, Geordie, in terms of what went well, what didn't well, and I imagine you've probably adapted in a way. So I think, yes, reflection is a huge part of being an athlete, but also nailing your nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. And you learn from those bad experiences, even from the good experiences, you learn from it, but you need to make sure that you are learning. And a journal like that is so, so, so powerful, because you can say, yeah, I want to get 100 grams of carbs in. But if you go having never done that, and then you go out on the trail or on your bike or, you know, go for a run on the track, whatever, if you try to do it, it's not going to go well. Your gut's not going to be able to handle that. We've spoken about that at length. You've got to train your gut. And training your gut is that progressive overload principle. So writing these down and then adding up the numbers. Okay, this Saturday I got 45 grams in. Next Saturday I'm going to try for 55 grams. I'm going to add in by having a little bit of dried fruit. And then the next weekend, you know what, I'm going to throw an extra gel in. So I have two gels and my dried fruit. I'm going to have 60 grams. Okay, next week I want to get up to, and that's how you slowly build it up. And then you can figure it out and you really get a comprehensive plan that you know works for your body, and you've built up to that. And the only way you can really do that and get it really bang on is by having a training journal.
Even the other day I was in the pool and I was thinking, I should have been focusing on swimming, but I was thinking, wow, I literally just ate about 10 minutes before I hopped in the pool. And I felt really good because, you know, as a kid, I don't know if your parents did the same, but mom always said to me, you have to wait at least an hour after lunch before you go swimming, otherwise you'll sink, you know, or something like that. And now as an adult, and obviously a dietitian, I'm probably, you know, educated enough to make my own decisions, but I find myself eating, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes before training now. And I feel great. I don't feel sick. Don't feel, you know, anything that I used to feel. So it's okay. Yes, you might be listening to this and thinking, I just cannot eat before or during training. But as you mentioned, it's progressive overload for your stomach. Over time, just commit, you know, maybe now you have to eat an hour before training, but you know, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, or in a year, you know, it doesn't matter. Everyone's different. You'll find yourself being comfortable eating really close to training. And it's just about persevering and also finding what works. For example, I can't really have a bowl of cereal or something right before I was going to go for a run. But if I was having rice cakes with jam, perfect. I could literally eat it and run because I know that that works really well for me. So it's the same for you. You know, what works for your coach or what works for your training partner, what works for your actual partner, it's going to be different to what works for you. So again, it's trying to block out that, you know, everyone else's opinions, because what works for someone doesn't always work for you. And having this nutrition journal as well helps you to keep track of, okay, this actually is what works for me, regardless of, you know, outside opinions as well.
Yeah, completely, completely agree. All right, if we were to summarize Loz's five strategies to start implementing in your endurance training right now, let's go through them. Go 1 to 5, Loz.
Yep. So number one is eat enough to reflect your training load. So making sure you're eating enough is a huge, huge, huge priority. Second is using your long training sessions as a chance to practice carbohydrate loading. You can do that literally the day before, having around 10 grams of carbs per kilogram of your body weight. Third tip was practice your intra-training nutrition and hydration strategies during your training sessions. Also as well, tip three was if you've got a brick session or a different type of session, again, practice your transition nutrition. Gives you a really good chance to practice what's going to happen come race day. And the last one was keep a training and nutrition journal so that all the strategies 1 to 4, you can then reflect on in that fifth strategy.
Yeah, all very good points. And remember, failing at these things is all part of it. It's all part of the fun. You just want to fail more times in training than you do out in your race or competition. And doing these things in training is a way that you can ensure that you do that. So I hope you guys found that really useful. I have found this type of information and actually doing this in my training so useful. And me and Loz, I think we're still in the big scheme of things, pretty young at this sport, right? And I think doing not too bad, all things considering, like I'll say it again, I think that is because taking your nutrition, your hydration seriously does seem to give you somewhat of an advantage. At least, you know, we're not at the elite level where everyone's really, really good. But at least when you're just starting out, getting these things right can put you so far ahead of the curve. I think everyone should be doing it, whether you're a beginner, you're intermediate, or right at the top level. Everyone needs to be doing these things.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what level you are. This is super important, and it will help you get to that next level.
Awesome. All right, Loz. Until next time.
Thank you.